If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. We are in the very earliest part of the history of the church. Chapter 2 deals with Pentecost, approximately 50 days or so after Jesus' ascension. That would probably place chapter 3 as one of the earliest beginning ministries and miracles in the church at that time. So early is this that the church is still going to the temple. It took time for the church to realize game over for the temple. As a matter of fact, if you are careful with your theology and your reading, John gives us great hint that temples were over. It says that Jesus was God in John chapter 1 and that he, are you ready? The Greek is very literal. He tabernacled among us. That meant this. Once Jesus took up human form, fully God, fully man, temples are rendered no longer needed. Jesus told the woman at the well, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when people will not worship in Jerusalem or in some building. They will worship in spirit and in truth wherever you are." So we've discussed who is now the true, real temple. You are. Everyone who becomes born again is made a brick in the temple whose foundation is and cornerstone is Jesus Christ. So this is very early. It took time for the church to, you know, Jesus wasn't working with the best disciples. Peter and John are, and James are his three best disciples, and I love John. You know I love John, but they weren't the smartest or sharpest knife in the drawer. And it's taking them time. You know now by chapter 3, they've been kicked out of the synagogue. Jesus said in John 16:2, the hour is coming when they're going to throw you out of the synagogue because you follow me. Now remember, you could be glad you're not in this kind of a church, but in the Jewish synagogue, I want to remind you, the rabbi could discipline his people. They could whip you throughout all of Jewish history, up until modern times, up until maybe the beginning of the 20th century. The rabbi was allowed, even by law, to whip the congregants that didn't obey. And if you really stepped out of line and did a major sin, the rabbi could lead in the stoning of the person. How do you like that? How about that? Put that on the elder thing to discuss. Whipping and stoning. Oh, I'll bet you we'll have a whole bunch of people on Wednesday night wanting to hear that elders meeting. Anything to get you out. No, we're not going to do that. But they could do that. And it's, guess what happened to the early church? They had to meet together, share things, because the synagogue said to them, get out. The man born blind was already ejected from, is it me? Okay. Because I know I've been known to do stupid stunts. The man born blind was already ejected. And by the way, if you were ejected from the synagogue, you could go to the temple still, because that was kind of like the main worship, but your synagogue was your whole life. Everything you did revolved around what was happening in the synagogue, your education, your fellowship, your eating with people, all of that, who you gathered with. They were isolated. They met together. And God did that deliberately. How do you think the church is going to start doing things unless God has to do some things to get them to unite together? The last time the church was united, how about that? is when they united together in this early beginning of the church. So Peter and John are going up to the temple. I told you last week in 70 AD, what's going to happen to this temple? And, you know, I'm pretty sure that as Peter and James, I don't know what was in their mind. How do you know that? But after Jesus had told them 60 or so, 70 days before this, you see these rocks, boys, these stones, not one's going to be here. And as they walked in, they wonder, I know it was, bet you, wouldn't you wonder, when's this going to happen? When's this going to, it's going to take till 70 AD, but they're only going to be able to finish the temple, its total construction, in 63. That temple stood completed only 7 years. And then God said in 70 AD, guess what he said? It's over for these things. God tabernacled among us. We are the temple of God. We do not need these buildings. By the way, what's a church, everybody? Is a church a building? It's what? There you go. So Peter and James, as I told you, or Peter and John are going up. They see a blind or a lame man from last week. The guy wants money. And as I told you last week, if you were poor, there was no social welfare. There was no going to Social Security and asking for something, or going to California Covered or stuff like that. This poor man, since birth, was sentenced to sitting at the side and depending upon the welfare of people to throw him a few shekels. And Peter and John said, we have no money. Did you hear about that pastor this week? It's his anniversary, 7th anniversary. Guess what he gave his wife? A Lamborghini. So that pastor couldn't say like Peter and John or Jesus, I ain't got no silver or gold. Would you like to borrow my Lamborghini? No, they couldn't say. The church in its true foundation is never about money. That's what we've become. Now, I think one of the ladies in Sunday school said that the gentleman worked for Joel Osteen before. Is that what you told me? That's what we've got today in preaching. Remember what we told you about preaching that last couple Sundays. It was direct. It was biblically based. There was a call for action. Repent. It was fearless. It wasn't politically correct. Man, is the preaching different in Acts from what you have today? I don't even listen to preachers. There are no exceptions. I won't listen to them. The kids will come to me at the seminary and say, did you hear that? And I go, I don't listen. I have no respect. So we go back into chapter 3. In verse 6, Peter and John, Peter speaking for the two, said, we don't have any money. I'll tell you what I do have. Now watch this. In the name of Jesus the Messiah, walk. Now please note the name. Yeshua is his human name, Joshua, Yeshua. It is the emphasis of his humanity. The word Christ is not Jesus' name. That's his official position, his title. He is the Messiah. He holds that office, and then they do something that, I don't know if you remember this from last week, the Nazarene. If you go back to John, one of my favorites. What did Andrew and his brothers say about any prophet from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Look at this now. They actually use the name of insult of Jesus. in directing the power of God to heal this man in the name of Joshua, the Messiah, the one that you disrespected and called the Nazarene. Walk. So what do you hear about Jesus' name today? The only time it's ever used. Let me tell you something. Paul says in Philippians that there's coming a day at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. There is absolute power. Jesus said at the Great Commission in Matthew, all power is given to me on in heaven and in earth. Go. Well, they're exercising Jesus' commission here. For they say, in the name of Joshua, the Messiah, the one you disrespected, called the Nazarene, walk. And immediately, he stood up and began walking. He entered into the temple with them, verse 8. And they were leaping and praising God. By the way, this is not one of those miracles that you can fake. This man was lame for life. Everybody knew. God does not pick and do like these faith healers, let me make your leg longer than something. This is obviously a absolute miracle, and every one of them knew it. And the guy was, in verse 11, clinging to Peter and John, and all the people ran together at the so-called Port of Solomon, and the temple had various porticos, full of amazement. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think that this was just an accident? There, God is showing the Jewish people, he's giving them an opportunity to repent. He's showing the name of Yeshua has power that you can't imagine. And the people see that in the mere pronunciation of Jesus' name, things beyond imagination can occur with that power. Now, the purpose of this miracle is to awaken the nation, to bring repentance for what they did some 70 days before. You thought you wanted Barabbas? Little do you know that in the name of Jesus, there is power, because he is the true. This is evidence that Jesus was the true Messiah. So if you were Satan, the adversary, and miracles started happening, glorifying the name of Jesus as the true Jewish Messiah, what would you do? And that's what you're going to see in Acts. For every time the gospel... Hey, how many people were saved at the end of chapter 2? There have been thousands that are being saved. Daily. Wouldn't that bother you if you were the adversary? That's what the name Satan means, the adversary. Right? You can't have that happen, because the name of Jesus is being glorified and he's being demonstrated to be the real Messiah. So guess what happens? We're going to have counterpunch. Now watch. In verse 12, but when Peter saw this, they replied to the people, men of Israel. And by the way, the temple was always busy, went 24/7. There were always people at the temple. That's probably why this happened at the temple, because there's no better place to have an aggregate whole of people than right there publicly at the main center of worship. Why do you marvel or gaze at us? If by our own power or piety we had made him to walk. There's what I like about spirit-filled preaching. And this is why I reject most preachers now, if not all of them. I have a question I ask myself on any preacher Do you see Jesus when they preach? Or do you see the preacher? You get on TV and you see these ministries, ask me, do you see Jesus? Or do you see all of these ministries glorifying the man who is the minister of that ministry? It reeks today. These preachers are a scam. Everything they do, calling themselves doctor, writing books, is all designed to promote the ministry and the man rather than Jesus. The next time you watch a minister on television, I don't care if he's holding his Bible and I don't care if you think he may, ask yourself, do you see Jesus being glorified? Or do you see the man being glorified? Every time I ask myself that question and I pay attention to a preacher, I'm always disappointed. You're just negative, Pastor Dave. No, that's just the way it is. Look what they do here. We didn't do this by our own power. Here are Peter and John that could have taken an opportunity to glorify themselves. Who do they glorify? Get your eyes off of us. Get your eyes on whom? The Lord Jesus. The God of Abraham, verse 13, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. There is what true ministry is. The glorification, the focus of the attention, the honoring of the name of Jesus. And by the way, after that, here is politically incorrect preaching. His servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and disowned. Now, humanly speaking, you think there's a preacher that has guts to do what Peter is doing now? Now, this is Peter, who some 70 days ago saw what they did to Jesus. Annas, Caiaphas beat him to a pulp. Pilate said, "Behold the man." The crowd screamed, "We want Barabbas." And I am amazed, because before Peter went out and what? Ran. Look what he does now. Whom you delivered up, you disowned in the presence of Pilate. Now, that's not politically correct, nor is that going to be the seeker-sensitive way to win friends and influence. That is not the Dale Carnegie way, is it? We don't have preaching like that anymore. But when you're spirit-filled, you care more about God's truth than you do anything else. And he even says Pilate decided to release him. Now what he's saying is the Romans, as cruel as they are, were going to show mercy. Verse 14, "But you disowned the Holy One and the Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be..." Woo, Peter! Did you know Barabbas was a murderer? Not only a thief. How in the wide world, Peter, are you going to get people to trust in Jesus when you're really slapping them? You're making them guilty of, book them, Dano, murder one. By the way, since Jesus, how many Jewish messiahs have there been? Now be careful if you've heard this before. Since Jesus, how many Jewish messiahs have offered themselves to Israel since Jesus? The answer is at least 50. All of which the nation or the people accepted except Jesus. Let me tell you about one. It's around 35 now. In 135, 100 years from now, there will be a man not from the tribe of Judah. They will declare him to be the Messiah. Bar Kokhba. You ever heard of him? He declared himself 100 years from now to be the Messiah, 100 years from this point. All the rabbis, by the way, the temple's destroyed, and that really chafed them when they destroyed the temple, and the Jews wanted to take Jerusalem and rebuild that temple, and this guy, Bar Kokhba, decided to lead a revolution. And guess who started getting persecuted? He lived just outside in Samaria, I believe, of Jerusalem. And the temple was destroyed, but Jews were still in the land. Even when they did the rebellion and the temple was destroyed, they let them come back in. And Bar Kokhba said, "That's it. I'm rebuilding the temple." And he started leading a revolution. And guess who was the first in his sights? Christian Jews. He enslaved them. He killed them. He told them, "You either follow me as Messiah or you're dead." I've read the story of Bar Kokhba. All the rabbis, Rabbi Akiba, this is the great Messiah. And they went around and started killing everybody in sight, trying by their own power to bring in the kingdom. You see, what did Jesus preach about the kingdom? You must be what? You must be regenerated. You must be born again. But Rabbi Bar Kokhba and Rabbi Akiba said, you don't have to be regenerated. You need what? Revolution. We will bring in our own kingdom. He slaughtered. Hundreds of thousands got slaughtered in this rebellion. And the church, Jewish church, all around there suffered the most. The Romans said, that's it. Didn't they do this in 70 AD? They sent in the finest Roman legions you could find. And they took Bar Kokhba and Rabbi Akiba. And they did what Rabbi Akiba and Bar Kokhba had been doing to people. You know what they did to them? And you know what Bar Kokhba and Rabbi Akiba had been doing to them? Skinning people alive. And they skinned the rabbi and Bar Kokhba and tortured them for days. And then they said this, that's it. And the Romans went in to Jerusalem and took the whole city where the temple was, buried it in dirt, and put a temple to Zeus there. And said, none of you can come back into this area. All you do is rebel. And that's what's been facing Jewish history since Jesus. Jesus said to them, you must what? Must be born again. You must repent. They said, no. We will bring in the kingdom through revolution. Let me tell you about the next one of the 50 messiahs. And by the way, if you want this book, it's by Jerry Rabow, R-A-B-O-W, 50 Jewish Messiahs. Rabow is a rabbi. Oh, I could say that five times real fast. And he told about this. The next one that they had through kept happening, and it was always by one word that they would bring in the kingdom. What is that? Revolution. So the next guy comes in, and the next guy, and then let me tell you about one more interesting one. You ought to get that book by Jerry Rabow, 50 Jewish Messiahs. It was always by revolution. By the way, most of the time the Jews would follow these guys. They wouldn't follow Jesus, the true, but he said regeneration and not revolution, right? So, around the 17th century, another guy came up. His name was Sabbat Zevi. How many have ever heard of that? Sabbat Zevi. Anybody? You mean to tell me all of these Jewish messiahs and you've never heard of them? By the way, Sabbat Zevi had 1.5 to 2 million Jewish followers in Europe. And you've never heard about it. Sabbat Zevi came in, declared himself to be the Messiah. He wasn't from the tribe of Judah. They didn't know who he was, what he was from. He said, because he was Kabbalist, and you know I have my books on Kabbalah now, you know that. I have my Talmud, my Kabbalah, and all my books. I just paid, Sandy almost shot me. I just paid, but it was the book allowance from the school. I just paid $650 for the latest edition of Matt's Zohar. Because now I study this. Not to approve it, but to learn. Sabbat Zevi was a Kabbalist. He was into Jewish Gnosticism and mysticism. The Kabbalists believe that the way to get the kingdom to come in is not through repentance and doing what God wants, but it's by being as evil as you could be. In other words, Sabbat Zevi taught that if we become so evil, it'll force God to bring in the kingdom. 2 million followed him. I have all the books on it. Sandy says, "Are you buying another book? Our children need food." I'm in trouble. So here's what he did. He said, because Kabbalists believe this. How many have ever heard of Kabbalah with the red thing on the... Okay. Here's what they believe. In true Kabbalah taught by Kabbalists that are Jewish, it's Gnosticism, and it also says this, inversion. The more evil we become, the more that will force God to bring in the kingdom. It's all based on Gnosticism and Kabbalah and the Ein Sof, and this is stuff you don't need to know, but I just want to let you know, they rejected whom you crucified, but they have always been looking for their Messiah. And here's what Sabbat Zevi did. He says, we're going to reverse everything. We're going to do evil. So at Passover, everybody would exchange wives and have orgies. Everything forbidden under Mosaic law was approved, and you name it, the depravity and perversion, homosexuality, bestiality, Sabbat Zevi, they did it all. And 2 million Jews in Europe followed him. And so, by the way, he was a nice guy. Very personality, nice guy, good personality. And you can do anything you want. Matter of fact, be as evil as you can, because that'll force God to bring in the kingdom. What did Jesus preach? Repentance. What did Sabbat Zevi give them? They were going to bring in revolution by doing evil. So he told everybody where he was in Romania that he's marching to Jerusalem to declare himself Messiah. And everybody in Europe that was Jewish got excited. The Messiah is going to take Jerusalem. He marched down there, and the Muslim leader met him, who was the leader of the caliphate, the Muslim Islamic Empire, and said, if you go one step further and try to do this, I'm going to kill you. And guess what happened to that Messiah? He converted to Islam. And they didn't know what to do with it, because he was going to be the Messiah. 2 million people were following him, and they were allowed to do anything they want. And so how do you recover from that? They spread the word that he was pretending to be a Muslim, but was really doing this to further the messianic kingdom. That's just one I haven't told you about, and it's coming up. Jacob Franck. How many have ever heard of Franckists? Anybody? How about New York? Anybody from New York in here? Do you know what the most popular prayer book among synagogues in New York is? The Franckist prayer book. That's not shocking to you, except that if I told you about Jacob Franck, who said he was the reincarnation of Zavit Zavi, and we'll tell you one of that. What's your point? My point is, here it is, the power in the name of Jesus, the real Messiah was crucified and rejected. And they followed 50 after this that had no qualifications whatsoever to be Messiah. You put him to death, the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead. And watch this, ladies and gentlemen, to which we are witness. The power of God raised the Messiah from the dead. And on the basis of faith in his name, the name of Jesus that you disrespected, that you murdered, the man whom you see and know through faith in him, that name has given health to that man. Look at verse 17. And now, brethren, I know you acted in ignorance, as your rulers did also. So how do we explain this? Who's responsible for Jesus' death? Well, clearly Peter said who was responsible? The people. Clearly Peter has said, he's going to say in a little bit, it's God's sovereignty that did it. And Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, I give it up voluntarily. So the answer to that question is more than just a simple answer. There were a whole bunch of people guilty for the death of Jesus. There is national guilt, there is personal guilt, and it is all part of God's plan. How do you explain that, Pastor Dave? I don't. But I'll tell you something. You want to get yourself killed? Preach like Peter. And how would you like it if he called you ignorant? I like, you're a bunch of ignorant idiots that did that. You did it in ignorance. When's the last time you heard a preacher call a group of people in the congregation ignorant? But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, and there is the reason why the people rejected Jesus. Do you know why? It boils down to they were ignorant of the Word of God. And that is what's wrong with the church today. Ignorance of the Word of God. People should know the Word of God, but they say now, well, that's your job, preacher. You know the Word of God, so you can tell us. Or you listen to these preachers. I remember when I was a kid, my mom used to listen to some preacher. He would ring a bell. Every time he said something he liked, he would ring a bell. Do you remember that? No, she doesn't remember that. I'm in trouble on my way home. He calls them ignorant because they didn't know the Word of God. Okay, now here's where we got to spend some time, and we don't have enough time, so this is where I got to spend some time. Israel was expecting a Messiah that was like Absalom or David. What do you remember about David? Absalom. Linda? Hey. Long hair, good looking. Muscles. What's that song, Lawan? I Want Muscles. What's that song? Who sang that song? Come on, you're the music guy. I don't know. Huh? No. If that starts falling on me, then you know something's going on. Anyway, they wanted a handsome Messiah. Muscles, chariot. And they didn't see that not only was there to be a powerful Messiah, but there was to be, are you ready? A suffering Messiah. The scripture gave them both pictures. That before there can be the kingdom, there must be what? Repentance and regeneration. So which would you rather have? Zabbat Zvi that said, let's throw an orgy at Passover? Or would you rather have Jesus that said, you must repent, be born again, and act in holiness? Which would you rather prefer? And what they saw, they didn't know the Word of God. And that's what's wrong with the church today. It isn't just them. It is the church. They are ignorant of what the Word says. And you get these preachers that ring bells and say that they write things when they don't. And then the people suffer. My people perish for lack of what? That's why Peter said you did it because you're ignorant. But if there is the can you give me a... We're Christmas time. Here you go. You can give me a conquering passage because we sing it. Handel's Messiah. By the way, Handel was Jewish. Are you ready? What's Handel's Messiah? What's the names of the Messiah in Handel's conquering? He shall be what? Come on, Handel's Messiah. Come on, Sean, eh? Huh? He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace. Everybody loves a winner. You're supposed to sing it. But guess what? There are other portions of Scripture. Can you name the suffering Messiah? It's portions? I've got them to go over. We won't get through them this. Can you name the scripture where it talks about the suffering of the Messiah? What? Isaiah what? 53. I want to tell you about that next week. One of the most absolutely unpopular portions of scripture in synagogue. Do you know what it is? And the rabbis say we won't put that in our books because we don't want people to misunderstand its meaning. And there's where organized religion is what? Well, not only nuts, but the enemy. And so they will remove 53. And next week, I want to tell you how that's interpreted today. And it's going to shock you. If they do include it, I want to give you the rabbinic interpretation of Isaiah 53. You all think that points to Jesus, don't you? Don't you? According to Acts chapter 6, it sure does. Because that's where Philip met whom? The Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip quoted it. But you'd be surprised at how that's understood. So Peter calls in this verse 19. What's he call the nation to do? What's the word? You need to be what? Born again. You need to repent. Which is harder to do? Let's throw an orgy or repent? Fifty messiahs. And the true Messiah never preached to make himself popular by condescending to the depravity of the people. He preached boldly the Word of God, and so did the first generation of apostles. You need to what? Repent. Wait till we tell you, Isaiah. Come next week if you're here, If you're traveling, you will miss. It's a good interpretation. It won't work, but it's clever.